Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we begin our new study of Revealing the Jihad and Terrorism of Islam. Notice that I did not say Revealing the Jihad and Terrorism of Radical Islam or Extreme Islam, but I said Revealing the Jihad and Terrorism of Islam. It is the Jihad of Islam. It is the Terrorism of Islam. Recently, I've been watching the news, even those who call themselves conservative, like Fox News, and the confusion and the chaos is there beyond imagination. That in one segment, which is literally 7 or 8 minutes, you hear varied opinions concerning what is going on in the world today. Some will say it is radical Islam, and others will say what's happening around the world have nothing to do with Islam. But I have never heard anyone say that the jihad and terrorism we see in the world today is Islam. And that's why I believe this study is very important for all of you, our audience. I don't want you just to know it, but I want you to share it with others. Because we are living in the last days where we see the scripture is being fulfilled. For the evil is called good, and the good is called evil. And sadly, no one has the courage to tell the truth. Not because people do not know, because I promise you, there are plenty of people who have common sense, those who have read the Quran, and they knew exactly what I will be talking about, the jihad and terrorism of Islam. First, we must ask the question, what is Islam? It is a very simple question, and it requires a simple reading of the Quran. Islam is the practice of the teaching of Allah's word, the Quran, and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. It is not to believe in the Quran, but to practice the Quran. It is not to believe in Muhammad, but to obey and to submit to the teaching of Muhammad. And you will see this clearly as we go on with our study. For the essence of Islam is to submit or to surrender, not just to believe. As we know that the word Islam itself means to submit or to surrender. And the word Islam does not mean peace, as that is one of the fundamental lies we hear all the time. The best way to judge any doctrine or any belief about Islam is simply to ask the question, does it exist in the Quran or the Hadith or not? If it is in the Quran, the word of Allah, it is Islam. If it is in the Hadith, the words and the teachings of Muhammad, it is Islam. If it is not in the Quran nor the Hadith, it have nothing to do with Islam. So let me go back again to the title, which I have given to this study. It is called Revealing the Jihad and Terrorism of Islam. It is what is written in the Quran and what is written in the Hadith concerning jihad and terrorism. It is not what some Muslims claim or declare it to be, or it's not even my own personal opinion, but it is what Allah and Muhammad declare it to be, jihad and terrorism of Islam. First, let's have a quick review of the specifics of Muhammad's life. When did Muhammad born in this world? He was born 570 AD. Muhammad's father died before Muhammad was born. And then his mother died when he was 5 years old. He moved to live with his grandpa, who also died. And then Muhammad ended up living with his uncle, Abu Talib, who did not believe in him when he claimed to be a prophet. Now, Muhammad claimed to be a prophet around 610 AD, when he was 40 years old. That is 610 years later, after our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ came to this world. At this time, Christianity was spread all over the world. During this time, Christianity flourished all over the Middle East and Europe. Even when Muhammad was born in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, there were strong Christian believers. What about Muhammad? What did he believe? Whom did he worship all the years of his life before he turned 40 years old, before he claimed to be a prophet? The answer is very simple. Muhammad worshiped one of many idols the Arabs worshiped. Well, there were 360 gods in Mecca in these days. And Muhammad chose, for whatever reason, the black stone to be his god. Muhammad worshipped the black stone and kissed it all the years of his life. Well, Muslim scholars told us that when Muhammad was 40 years old, he used to go to some cave by the name Hara. In this cave, Muhammad used to meditate. Well, one night while he was meditating, he felt this weird feeling. Somebody is hugging him from behind him, squeezing him so tight around his chest. And this someone was asking Muhammad to read or to recite. And Muhammad did not know what to read. And he simply told this spirit or that person, "I'm not reading." And this happened 3 times. After the spirit left Muhammad, and the 3rd time, he ran all the way home. And he told his wife about this frightening experience. And Muhammad's wife later assured him that this is not a demonic spirit, but it was Angel Jibreel. Even though she herself never saw this spirit, but she performed some test, a strange test, that is when she uncovered herself in the presence of that spirit, for Muhammad was able to see the spirit, but she did not. And when she did that, the spirit left the room, and that assured Khadija, that is Muhammad's wife, that this spirit is a godly spirit. For demonic spirits do not mind to be in the presence of uncovered woman. And this is known to be the test of Khadija and the proof of Muhammad's prophethood. Really? Is this how Muhammad know for sure that he is a prophet? Is this how Muslims know for certain that Muhammad is a prophet? Yes, indeed. That was the greatest test which ever been performed by a woman in the life of Muhammad. But I have a verse I'd like to share with you, my dear audience, and with our dear Muslim friends. And that verse comes from the 2nd letter of Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 14. For the scripture said, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Perhaps Muhammad saw an angel. Perhaps Muhammad saw an angel of light. Could it be Satan? Wait as we continue our study, and you will find for certain that that is exactly the truth. Muhammad's angel, that Jibreel, was nothing but Satan himself. Now Muhammad began to believe that he is a prophet. And every prophet came with a message from God. Therefore, Muhammad also have his message from Allah. And that message is known to be the revelation of the Quran. As a matter of fact, Muslim scholars assured us that the Quran was the miracle of Islam. It is the only miracle Muhammad knew. If it was not of the Quran, Muhammad could not be a prophet. And this Quran was delivered to Muhammad in 2 cities. The first city is the city of Mecca, where Muhammad lived all his life, from birth until he was 40 years old. Muhammad continued to receive the poetry of the Quran, which we call Mecca Quran, because he received it in the city of Mecca for 13 years. And if you study all these verses, which Muhammad declared it to be a revelation from Angel Jibreel, that is all what is given to Muhammad in Mecca, you will notice that it includes soft teaching, which is known to be the moderate Islam. It does not teach anything about jihad or terrorism. And during these 13 years, Muhammad continued to preach to all the Arabs whom he met in Mecca, telling them that he is a prophet. He is the final messenger which Allah sent to this world. And we know in the end of these 13 years, when Muhammad was 53 years old, he had few followers, maybe 50 followers.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
And then Muhammad lost two important people in his life. That is, his first wife Khadija. This is the woman whom he married when he was 25 years old, and she supported him financially. Then his uncle also died, and that is the man who protected Muhammad politically. He was actually the man in charge of all the gods, the 360 gods of Mecca. Now Muhammad have to emigrate. He have to escape for his life. First, his followers immigrated before him, and then himself and his friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who was also Muhammad's father-in-law. This is a man who gave his own child, the 6 years old Aisha, as a wife to Muhammad when Muhammad was 51 years old. They both, Muhammad and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, escaped to the city of Yathrib. This is a Jewish city. More than half of its population were Jews. Obviously, there were also Christians and others who lived in the city. When Muhammad arrived there, he was received by his early believers, those who immigrated before him, with joy and dancing. And there Muhammad continued to receive the revelation of Allah. And this revelation, we call it Madini revelation. Why is that? Because in 2 years or so, Muhammad took over the city of Yathrib by the edge of the sword, and he declared it to be his own city, the city of Muhammad, the Medina. And because Muhammad continued to receive this claimed revelation from his angel Jibreel in the city of Medina, that's why we call all these chapters Madini chapters. And there, the message and the revelation of Allah was transformed significantly, because now Islam is no longer a moderate religion, as you see it throughout all the Mecca verses, but it became a blunt, harsh, bloody, barbaric cult. And anyone who will read the Quran without knowing if he is reading a Mecca or a Medini chapter, he will figure it out without any hardship. If you read a chapter in the Quran and the chapter did not have any words like kill, perform jihad, behead, cut off hands and legs, or simply engage in war, these are Mecca chapters. But when you get into all these violence teaching, you will know for sure you are reading a Medini chapter. Now we have to understand that Muslims are commanded by Allah in the Quran to follow the final revelation, the newer verses, not the old verses. If there are any conflict between early teachings and late teachings, and that is known to be the most important doctrine in the Quran, it's called the doctrine of abrogation. Allah abrogated the early teachings of Mecca by the new teachings of Medina. All what Muhammad commanded the Muslim to say and to do in Mecca is deleted or replaced by the new teachings of Muhammad That is the final revelation of Allah in the city of Medina. And by studying the Medini chapters, the final command of Allah, now we find jihad and terrorism of Islam. Sadly, as we watch the news once again, I have not seen anyone yet who have the courage to open the final word of Allah in the Quran and read to the American people and explain to the American people that what we see happening today in the world, which sadly is coming soon here in America, as we have seen some of these attacks since September 11, all of that was simply the practice of the final words of Allah as it is written in the Medini chapters, which replaced all the early moderate teaching of Muhammad, which he wrote in his early 13 years when he was living as a weak man in Mecca. And the very sad thing is, all that we hear from the media today is simply the words radical Islam, extreme Islam, and the rest of the media and our politicians sadly continue to lie to the American people by saying that Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. And what we see happening in the world have nothing to do with Islam. But is that true? That is what we would discover as we continue to study jihad and terrorism of Islam. But before we even get into our study, I have to ask a very important question. Do we really have true Muslim believers who believed in Muhammad in the early days of Islam? The Arabs, those whom Muhammad lived with and he preached to, do they really believe in the words of Allah in the Quran? Do they really believe in Muhammad as we hear it many, many times from Muslims that Arabs were the first one to believe in Allah and Arabs are the first one to support and help Muhammad and Allah? Or this is just simply lies, and that is not the true history of the spread of Islam. And I personally believe the best way to answer any question concerning Islam is to read the Quran. Because we can come up with many answers, but if this answer was not found in the pages of the Quran, then it cannot be true. That's why I want to read with you. Quran chapter 49 and verse 14. That is the most important verse to know the true condition of the early believers, those who are the founding fathers of Islam, those Arab Bedouins. Listen to the words of Allah. Allah said, the Bedouins said, we believed. Say, you did not believe, but say, we surrender. And the faith has not entered your hearts. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not decrease anything from your works. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Did you hear what Allah said in the Quran? Allah here is telling us about the early believers of Islam, the founders of Islam, Muhammad, beloved Bedouins. They went to Muhammad and they told him, we're believers. We believe in Allah. We believe in you, Muhammad. We believe in the Quran. We believe in everything you teach. That is what the word we believe means. But Allah, the knower of all things, told Muhammad to tell these Arabs, these Bedouins, you did not believe, but say, we surrender. What does the word surrender sound like in the Arabic language? It is, we aslamna, we are Muslims. These are all words which means what? It means submission. As a matter of fact, if you look at the interpretation of Muslim scholars to that verse, you will see it. They submit to Allah, they submit to Muhammad as a result of fear, not because they believed. And the clear evidence even in the following words, when Allah said, and the faith has not entered your hearts. How can a person believe in any religion unless he have faith in that religion? And Allah here is declaring to us that the Arab, the Bedouins, did not believe. They simply submit. They were afraid of Muhammad and his thugs, and they accepted this new way of life. It is the religion of Islam. So now we know that the Quran declared to us that the Bedouins, the Arab, those who know Muhammad, those who lived with Muhammad, those who can read his poetry and understand his poetry, the poetry of the Quran, the miracle of Islam, they did not believe in Muhammad. They did not believe in Islam. They did not have faith. They simply surrendered as a result of fear. Well, Muhammad continued to live in the city of Medina, which was previously the Jewish city of Yathrib, until he came to the age of 62. And now Muhammad is returning back to the city of Mecca, as he will invade Mecca once and for all. When Muhammad returned to Mecca, all the Arabs came to him from all over the Saudi Arabia land, submitting to Muhammad, as he was pronounced victorious over all the Saudi Arabia peninsula. And Muhammad declared that there will not be a Jew or a Christian or an idol worshiper who will enjoy life in all the land of the Saudi Arabia peninsula anymore. Muhammad destroyed all the 360 gods except his black stone, the stone whom he loved, the stone whom he worshipped. And instead of admitting that he was wrong all these years to worship this black stone, no, he made up the stories that this stone was given to Adam and to Abraham. And this black stone, it used to be white, and it turned black because as people kiss that stone, they literally receive forgiveness for their sin. Muhammad slaughtered all the Jews and the Christians who did not submit to Islam, as he gave them 4 months to run for their life. And we can read that in Quran chapter 9 and verse 5, when Allah said, "So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, that is, convert to Islam, and perform the prayer, and give the legal alms, so leave their way free, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful." And as we continue with our study of revealing the jihad and terrorism of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.